ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening, this is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over shortwave radio station WWCR on 4.840 megahertz and 3.215 megahertz as transmitter 3 and transmitter 1, and also shortwave station WBCQ 7.490 megahertz. You can also go to our website at kingidentity.com, kingidentity.com. Go to our radio page, and you'll see links for both of those stations where you can listen over the Internet, or we have a link under the Kingdom Concepts also. If you'd like to participate in tonight's program, you can call 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE. It's a toll-free number. Anybody in this country should be able to call it. Our foreign listeners can call 678-949-5091 to dial direct. Scripture tells us that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered. We must study to show ourselves approved to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and being ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you. When waking up our brethren to the greater truths of Yahweh our God, we must also have a higher level of understanding in order to do so. To help develop this topic tonight, my guest is a Bible scholar with a Ph.D. in Biblical Studies, Eschatology, a Master of Divinity, and other degrees, who has just published an 800-plus page book on the subject. He's a Kingdom Identity believer and currently a professor of English in South Korea, where he is calling from now. I'd like to welcome to the broadcast Dr. Justin Prock.
Hi, Brother Mike. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
Oh, doing well. Thank you for having me on your program.
Well, I'm happy to have you on the program. You've written quite an extensive book. But before we get to your book and related subjects, why don't you give us some of your background and how you came into the Kingdom message?
Okay. Well, I grew up in the Episcopal Church. And I went to, my parents sent me to a Baptist private school and then an Episcopal private school and then a Seventh-day Adventist school. And these were as we moved along throughout America. And so I got three different doctrines running around in my head as a kid and eventually ended up in public schools. But my family and I fell away from the church because of the beliefs of the denominational Episcopal Church. And so we didn't go to church for quite a long time. And I was basically, after mom and dad died, mom died in 93 and dad in 96, I kind of became a pagan. And I basically fell away from God. And it wasn't until about 2003 in January that God got a hold of me. And I ended up going to U-Turn for Christ, which is a ministry of Calvary Chapel in Southern California. And they helped me clean up and get me back on my feet again. And they showed me how to study the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And so I started taking an interest in eschatology, and I learned about futurism, premillennialism, the rapture and all that stuff. And then eventually I moved to South Korea to teach history. And what ended up happening was I started reading out of the history book, and it said that the God of the Christians and the God of the Jews is the same as the God of the Muslims. And I shut the book and said that was wrong. And so I spent probably a good 2 years studying Islam, and went from there and then into the papacy and started studying the papacy, and found out about historicism, which I was never taught. And so as I was going along, I was getting my answers, or getting my questions answered. And eventually, you know, coming to the truth, well, that took a little bit longer, because after my master's in biblical studies, I was dealing with the rapture question. And then with my PhD, I was dealing with God's calendar. And I was dealing with, why are there two different or three different calendars in the world? And why are we on the wrong one? So if all this stuff is going to happen eschatologically, when's it going to happen, and which calendar is going to be used? So that was what I was dealing with the PhD dissertation. And then I kept getting bothered by the people groups. Why did Jesus Christ say those who say they're Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan? And I'm like, well, who are they? What's he talking about? And for a couple of weeks after my PhD, I just couldn't let those verses go. So I pulled the rug up and started investigating. And I started basically looking up people groups in the Bible. Who were they? You know, who are Adamites? What does Adam mean? Who are Shemites? What does Shem mean? Who was Abraham? Who was Isaac? Who is Jacob? What does Israel mean? And then I broke down the scattered nations. Who is the northern tribes of Israel versus the two southern tribes of Judah? And so I started nitpicking the Bible, basically, and looking at it from a legal point of view and separating the people groups in there. And then once I did that, then the eschatology fell in line. And because I was dealing with Jews, the church, Israel, and Gentiles. And ultimately, I was like, you know, that's what I grew up with basically all my life, and especially in Calvary Chapel, and come to find out that was wrong. And so I started going back and re-educating myself, especially with history, which, of course, I was lied to in during my bachelor's degree. I got the soft history. I didn't get the truth. And then eventually I just branched off into that and started looking up everything else with regard to the Bible. And I started picking it apart from a legal point of view. And so I came to the conclusion that Adam is a separate race, you know, as opposed to human, which means hue, means color. And so especially this past weekend, I've been doing research on the different races, and we are all different. I mean, there is no doubt about it in my mind. And that's the great lie that cultural Marxism is telling us today. And unfortunately, that everybody's buying it, even I did. And so I'm still learning, and I'm still, you know, searching out what the truth is, but I've got the basics down. And, you know, coming to the identity message, you know, it's kind of a scary thing in this world, because you become an outcast real quick and with your church brethren, because you try to say, hey, I got the truth. You know, I can stop drinking and stop eating all this crazy food, and I become healthy. Well, they don't want to hear that. You know, they don't want to obey God's law, and they say that's foolishness, that's in the Old Testament. You know, or they say that the law was nailed to the cross, which of course the ordinances were, but nothing else was. And so I started studying what the law meant and who was under the law, and I came to the conclusion that I was an Israelite. My uncle had done a genealogical search, and we go through England and go back into Germany, back into the 15th century. So I'm sure from there we go back to Israel. So that is, after all my studies and everything, I eventually came to that conclusion. So one of the first things I did was I quit drinking, and because I'd been on back and forth all of my life, you know, inside of church, you know, moderation this, moderation that, yada, yada, yada. But I realized that as a kingdom of priests, I don't need to drink, and especially if I'm one of Yahweh's children, I definitely don't need to belong to the world and do what the world does. And then I ended up, I quit shellfish, I quit eating pig or pork, you know, started cleaning up my life, and my health improved drastically. So once I got those things done, you know, then I turned to the biggest problem, which was race and race mixing. So I'm still dealing with that issue, but I do believe God's word. So anyway, so that's how I came to the kingdom message. I wouldn't let go of, you know, what Jesus said. And so coming back to that, those who say they're Jews and are not. Oh yeah, it does. It definitely does.
It's a way of life. It reshapes. It's just another churchy belief.
Right. And you belong to something and you belong to someone. And hence the, you know, the Book of Life, well, that made a whole lot more sense to me after learning that I was one of Yahweh's kids. You know, it's not something that gets written in after you accept Jesus Christ, you know, so, you know, this whole thing, you know, and then I started doing word studies, you know, and faith, you know, shouldn't be faith, it should be belief. You know, Abraham believed, and you know, it was accorded to him as righteousness. You know, I mean, Abraham believed God and did what he was supposed to do. You know, so, you know, it's not stepping out in faith, it's stepping out in belief, it's action. So,
well, faith without works is dead, is what Scripture tells us. These
exactly.
Judeo-Christians, they just profess a belief and then they act like the rest of the world.
Yes, and I was one of them, and I wanted to know why. You know, why didn't I change? And so, you know, by doing the word studies, you know, I was so excited, and I tell, you know, the guys at church, well, they didn't want to hear anything about it because they were like, you know, that doesn't mean anything. That's, you know, and I'm like, wait, it does. You know, the guys that I've read about back in the 1800s, they did the same thing and came to the same conclusions. But of course, you can't read about that now because a certain people group control all the communications in the publishing houses. So God forbid that the truth gets out, you know.
Well, your book emphasizes the Bible as it's written in the original languages rather than man-made translations and commentary and traditions and so on. And when you go to the original scripture, it makes you have to throw out a lot of what we've been taught that's not true.
Right. Right. It sure does. And my paradigm changed by degree. Literally, after I got done with the master's degree, I changed, you know, my perspective on eschatology from dispensationalism, futurism to historicity. And then, you know, it changed again from the PhD to the MDiv, and I dealt with the MDiv thesis, I dealt with the title of the book, but it was called What Did the Lord God and His Son Jesus Christ Say What They Said? And so, you know, I changed it based on the true meaning of, or the true name of, the Lord God and Jesus Christ, you know. And so I started dealing with that, and then my paradigm changed ultimately, and I came to the conclusions, you know, that there were two seeds in the Bible. You can't just pick one and say, yeah, that one's true because Jesus Christ filled it, and then the other one's not true and it's spiritualized. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So I was looking at it from the legal and common sense point of view, and literally I had to go back and re-educate myself in the Bible. But I'm alone in that opinion over here in South Korea, because, I mean, I live in a multicultural, you know, center of the world, and, you know, Christianity is just something that is, you know, people go to church, they pay their tithes and think they're wonderful for the rest of the week, and then go back to church and do it all again, you know. So, I mean, it's difficult. I mean, when you're, pardon me?
I said plain church.
Yeah,
not,
plain
not
church.
Serious, and, not serious Christianity, but plain church.
Right. And, you know, in the sermons you hear, I mean, it's just milk. I mean, nobody goes after the hard stuff because it will offend people. And a friend of mine preached yesterday on the gospel, and he covered it from a very, you know, mild point of view. And I was like, afterwards, I said, you know, I said, Jesus said this is a strong thing to hear it, you know. And so why would he admonish us and warn us that when we go out and evangelize people, that we would have tribulation in this world? I hadn't had any tribulation going up to people and saying, hey, you need Jesus Christ. And people would say, no, I'm good. I'm good. And they walk away smiling. Well, I started thinking to myself, what does that mean? Do they need Jesus Christ? Who needs Jesus Christ? I mean, obviously everybody does, but I mean, who was he sent for? And what was his mission? Well, and that's when I came across Matthew 15:24, and then everything started clicking, you know, because Jesus says straight up, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, that goes along with the house of Israel that was kicked out of the land in the Old Testament. And then I realized that the Old Covenant was made with the same people, and it was called the New Covenant. And it was made with the two houses that God will eventually bring together, according to Ezekiel 37. So Bible prophecy started falling in line for me. Well, that puts a new dynamic on, okay, where's Gog and Magog going to happen? What time is it really? You know, they're finding out, you know, there's new evidence that the Messianic text has been messed with by the rabbis, and especially Rabbi Akiba, back in, 133 or 130. He rewrote his own text because everybody was using the Septuagint at the time, which prophesied of Jesus Christ, so everybody knew to look for Jesus Christ. Well, the Jews didn't want that to happen, so they rewrote their own text, and so that came out, and of course, the majority of the Protestant Bibles are based on that. Well, that's a big problem. They took out 1,300 years of time, so where are we on the timeline? So that's kind of where I'm at today. It's kind of like, wow, you know, I mean, the whole idea of deception was incremental to me. And it was, okay, I was right about, you know, with regard to secular history. I was right about, okay, with regard to the rapture. I get it. And then I was lied to about other things that came along as I was doing my degrees, whether it was intentional or whether it was just what they were taught and previously taught, and they were teaching me what they were previously taught. And so as I was looking at it, you know, whether it was intentional or not, you know, I had to re-educate myself and literally do word studies. Well, we have the technology today. Nobody has to be fluent in Greek or Hebrew. You know, all you need is a good Bible program and you could do your own. Well, the problem is in today's society, we've got sports, we've got iPhones, iPads, iThis, iThat. We have, alcohol and drugs and pornography and all the other things that take people away from reality. And so, you know, we have weapons of mass distraction, basically. And so the people of God, you know, don't know what's going on. They have the time, but they're sidelined because they're doing other things instead of doing what they should be doing as we get closer to the end. And I'm still at fault, you know, because I study, but I don't spend 24 hours a day doing it. You know, I'm behind the curve.
A lot of the Christian patriots know that there's a problem with the history that's being taught us and the general subjects in school and the media and medicine, and they've picked up on all kinds of things that are going on, certainly politically, but they haven't seen the spiritual reasons behind it.
Mm.
When a person learns the kingdom message, it puts everything together, and a lot of people look everywhere except to Yahweh our God for the answer.
Right. And you look at where America is today and where America was when we started, I mean, it's totally at opposite ends of the spectrum. And, you know, when is judgment going to happen? That's, you know, what was it? Billy Graham's wife said, if God doesn't punish America for her sins, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, I mean, that's the point. That's the state we're in. So, you know, who is America in Bible prophecy? Well, you know, Israel got kicked out of the land for doing the same thing and went into slavery. Well, I'm afraid America is the same thing's going to happen to America, you know, and the Western nations because they turned their back on God. We're a postmodern Christian nation. And so, you know, how did we get there? Well, when you learn your history, you know, World War I and World War II were fought by two groups of white people. Well, you wiped out the majority of Christianity such that the next group of, or the next generation coming up, you know, was socially influenced by the new stuff coming out, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know, there's a cutting line in our history, which is, you know, roughly 1960. You know, the dividing line for Western nations and our culture change. And so, you know, you see us going through a incremental Marxist revolution. And so, you know, communism is still alive and fruitful today. You know, what was it? Rabbi Stephen Wise said that communism is Judaism. Well, you know, that's a tough pill to swallow, but it's like the more you study Bolshevism and communism, and you realize that the real Holocaust was the 66 million Christians, European Christians that were murdered by the Bolshevik Jews, you know, throughout World War I and World War II. Well, that's the real Holocaust. But of course, nobody talks about that. You know, you're verboten on talking about such subjects.
Well, not here. You can talk about anything, and we quite often talk about that subject. And you look, if you just make a list of evil going on in the world, you know, whether it's the, you know, the movies or the left-wing media and on and on and on, you'll find a Jew behind every one of them pushing it.
That's true, and that's another hard pill to swallow because, you know, people are, you know, into the idea because Christians and especially Americans, we feel bad for what people go through, so we accept, you know, ad nauseum what the diatribe has been coming down the pike about the Holocaust. Well, everybody just accepts it, just like when they go on to church on Sunday, they accept what the pastor says and go on down the road. They don't double check. You know, we have the technology today where you can sit in there with an electronic Bible and look up what the Greek or the Hebrew says and realize that, hey, he can't spiritualize anything. And that's what's going on in the world, you know. So, you know, reality is, you know, race is an issue. History is an issue. All these things that you can't talk about today are issues. And why? Because cultural Marxism has come in and made everything politically correct. And God forbid you say anything about anything. You're the bad guy. And, you know, it's a world that's been turned upside down. And, you know, Jesus said, you know, right would be wrong and wrong would be right. And that's the way it is. You know, and this is in the times of Noah, where they had a huge race mixing and genetic manipulation. And just as in days of Lot, where we have rampant homosexuality, plus the acceptation of it, even transgenderism. And of course, God knows what's next down the road. Whenever
God's never had more of that in all of history than we have today. And same people are pushing it.
Yeah. And, you know, when you look at the Constitution where it says all men are created equal, well, the people who signed it were all white Europeans. So to them, white Europeans, all men were created equal. No,
the original wording was all Englishmen are created equal. I believe that was in one state. And then they changed it to, you know, for the nation.
Right.
Thomas Jefferson, who they now want to pull down his statue, along with all the other great men of this country.
Well, I'm surprised they haven't gone after Ben Franklin yet.
A little bit about your book, the title, and a little bit about how that came about, because I know you're trying to open up the eyes of our people with some truths that they haven't heard before, and this is a very comprehensive study that you've written. Well, like you said, it's over 800 pages long.
Well, it's 800 pages, 400 of it is what I've written, and then the other 400 is, if you don't believe me, go read what I've read, and you come to your own conclusion. And so the title of the book is, Why Did Yahweh and His Son Yeshua Say What They Said? A Who's Who That May Change the Way We Think About Eschatology. And so I started looking at the simple title of it is, okay, if you don't believe what God says, you know, don't come to me. That's your problem with him. You know, and of course people say, well, God didn't mean that, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm sorry, but he did. You know, the Hebrew is specific, but the Greek is even more specific. So as I was, this was the culmination of my thesis for my MDiv, and I included parts of my dissertation, my PhD dissertation in this. And so as I was writing this, you know, Voltaire comes out with, to learn who rules over you, you simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize. Well, you can't talk about anybody today. Okay, but who ultimately can you not talk about, right? So basically, I started out with what is etymology, and I go into what are types in the Bible, and then what is the law of first mention. And I did that on purpose because I wanted to see for myself, did God go by any other titles? You know, did Yahweh, was he the Lord God of another nation or something else? Well, come to find out, it was always the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or the Lord God of our fathers, or the Lord God of Israel, you know, and so I tried to make a point of that. And then how should Bible prophecy be interpreted? And I think every Christian should be aware of the four different types that are out there that people are looking at, you know, because people try to pigeonhole other people, you know, based on what they say. And it's like, well, time out. You know, this is what the Bible says, and I'm only going by what the Bible says, you know. So, and then I quoted Bertrand Comparé in Who Are the Keys to Bible Prophecy, because I thought he did a pretty good job of who the major people groups were. And then I started quoting the Lord God and Jesus Christ, Yahweh and Yeshua. And so I started off with, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. And I take on the controversial subject of seeds. And so, you know, I didn't know anything about Christian identity, you know, during my time of coming to the truth, if you will. And so I'm just looking at it from a commonsensical point of view and going, okay, the pastor's wrong on this. What if, you know, there are two seeds? And so I did that with everything else. What if the Bible is literal? I mean, much more literal than we know. And the promises are much more literal. And what would happen if we traced that out and followed it to its fruition? Where would we be today? And so as I was writing the book, I also thought about, okay, where did the Bible translation go? Well, it went through Europe. Where did the Reformation go? Well, it went through Europe. Where did the Christians go? Well, they went through Europe. Well, I started thinking about, okay, who are the people groups? And then I was like, where did Israel go? Where did 10 million Israelites go because the Assyrians didn't kill them all? You know, they didn't get assimilated in the Babylonian captivity. So I started looking at them, and then historically I started finding out what their names were, you know, and they were named after the house of Isaac and the house of Omri. And you start tracing them out, and secular history picks up where the Bible leaves off, and these people are, you know, the same people group are known by basically in another language, Israelites, you know, and they left their footprints all over Europe and the Caucasus Mountains, and eventually ended up in what is today Europe and England and America and the English speaking nations. And so the book, as I was writing it, I was trying to pick out phrases. What did God say about it? You know, and he says, you know, and in one of the chapters I put, the Lord God of Shem. Well, that's a specific statement, you know, and then he goes on to say, I am that I am, which, you know, that's not a very good translation of that phrase, but it gets the point across. You know, he was telling Moses, you know, to tell the Israelites who he was and who he was going to be to them, you know, and then, another chapter, I've got the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And I go through all the names of God. And I leave a question at the end of that chapter. And I say, if you can find through your Bible, if God is the God of another nation, please let me know. You know, because that's kind of a hard thing to do. And as I was doing my own studies, I started seeing how the Bible was Israel-centric, and that really changed my paradigm. I mean, that was like a slap in the face because of everything that I was taught. And then I started going after the law, and I quote, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Well, I go in and I define all those. And who were they given to? Well, they were only given to Israel. And that's what the Psalms say. And so, you know, the law wasn't for every other nation. It was for us. And so as I went along, I started realizing that, hey, this Bible is real and it's speaking to me. It's for me. And so I had to unlearn what I had known for, you know, like 45 years or whatever. The next chapter I did was, you, Israel, only have I known of all the families of the earth. Well, what do you do with that? I mean, that's a specific statement, you know, and he says, goes on and says, therefore I'm going to punish you, you know. So it's like, wow. And then Jesus comes along and says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, what was he talking about? What were the commandments? You know, and so that goes back to the Mosaic law. You know, I mean, he didn't come to abolish the law. and the prophets, you know, he came to fulfill them, and he fulfilled the statutes, or the ordinances, rather. So it's like, as you go through this book, I think it will change your perspective, or at least I hope it will, and make you dig into the Bible and dig into secular history.
In doing so, we'll be blessed. Tells us that if you keep the law, you'll be blessed. If you don't keep it, you'll be cursed. And that's certainly been the true history of our people. You go away from Yahweh's laws and you are cursed. You know, it causes problems. You keep his laws and your nation is blessed.
Right. You get the, there were blessings and cursings in Deuteronomy. And so we're not getting blessed now. I mean, we've made alliances with the wrong people, you know, for so long. And then another chapter I wrote, and this was the hardest one, was I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, that's a slap in the face to anybody. And you cannot spiritualize that sentence. And I went through like 15 or 20 different translations going all the way back to Coverdale. And, I mean, it was all basically the same thing. I mean, no one deviated from that or spiritualized it. You know, there's only two words that mean lost in the Bible, and the other one means to lose savor or flavor, you know, as it regards salt. So that's a big problem, you know. So after that, I go after the church. What is the church? It's the ecclesia. There's no such thing as organized church. So that's a big problem, you know, with pastors and elders and deacons and all this that are mentioned in the Bible. Well, when you go back and look at the original Greek, it's an older person or shepherd. And so that puts a different take on organized religion, which is basically Babylon. And so what do we do? Well, I mean, you know, Jesus says, come out of her, my people. You know, and I go through people, and there are several words in the Greek for people, but Paul and John and the others use the term laos, which is a specific people group that is by kindred, that are known by kindred, by blood. So that's a big deal, you know, but nobody gets into parsing out the words, or even once they do that, they don't believe what God says, you know. I talk about he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And I describe who the elect are, and they're defined in Isaiah as Israel. And so Jesus is going to do the, you know, this so-called rapturing, which is not in the Bible, but he's going to gather his people together unto himself, and the wheats and the tares. I mean, he's going to gather the wheat and put it into his barn, and he's going to burn the tares up. So who gets taken first? You know, the righteous or the wicked? And so that's another thing I deal with in that chapter. And then I go on with be ye not deceived. And deception's everywhere. I mean, the more you pull the rug up and start studying the verboten subjects, I mean, like, especially if you study the Jews and their history, well, holy cow, that opens up a really nasty, you know, deal. And so, you know, people have been thrown in prison or killed or lost their jobs or whatever, but I mean, you speak the truth, that's going to happen. You know, there's no way you can deny it, you know, unless you own the publishing house, which they do. And so I went through the Olivet Discourse, and I started discussing there shall not be left here one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. And I discussed the location of the temple, and what is standing on the Temple Mount is the old fortress, Roman fortress Anatolia. And so what are they praying to? Well, the western wall of the old Roman fortress. and it's not the western wall of the temple. And so that's a big problem. And then I go into, where was Jesus crucified? Well, he was crucified without, you know, the city, and he was outside the east gate where sin was dealt with by God. So anyway, and then I get into the Antichrist, and I have a few chapters on that. I am come in my Father's name, and he receive me not. If another shall come in his name, him he will receive. And I discuss the different types of Jesus that are in the world today based on people's imagination. And that's by Arnold Kennedy. And so I quote him, and I quote a whole bunch of other people throughout this book. And with regard to that, I go into, who is the Antichrist? What's the definition of an Antichrist? Well, that's anyone who opposes Christ or is the same as, you know, in place of Christ. And so I go through the different theories in the next two chapters. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, parts 1 and 2. Where is the Antichrist located at? And I cover Daniel 2 and then Daniel 7 and Revelation 13 and 17. And so, you know, everybody's got their idea on who the Antichrist is. Well, what if it's a system? And I start going after, you know, why is the beast scarlet red? Who was red in the Bible? Well, Edom was red, or Esau was red. Who was Esau? He was the father of Edom. Who are Edomites? You know, they're our enemy. And God says, you know, in the Minor Prophets that, guess what? There's not going to be one left, you know, because we're a torture. So who are Edomites today? Well, and that's a tough road to hoe and do your genealogy on, and you come to the conclusion that they are today's Jews. And that's another tough pill to swallow, you know, for Christians, because they don't want that to be true. And then I go into Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, and but are the synagogue of Satan. And I pick apart the word Jew and Judite, and there's a big difference. And, you know, Jew didn't come out in the Bible technically at all. It was always Judite. And then the term Jew in today's Bible is found in 2 Kings for the first time. So Abraham is not a Jew. And I go and reiterate that again, you know. And so, you know, trying to re-educate Christianity and whoever else wants to listen, that's a hard thing. And then, surely I come quickly. I end up with that, and then talk about the kingdom of earth being the stone kingdom of Daniel 2. And then I deal with secular prophecies with, regard to the second coming of Jesus. Well, that word coming means presence also. And it's possible that our Bible should have read presence instead of coming. And so, you know, instead of using the word faith, it should have been belief. So how are we being deceived today? Well, I mean, good grief. I mean, every day I wake up and I turn around, I'm being deceived. So it's like I literally had to re-educate myself on what's going on in the world. And then what did the Bible really mean? So separating the people out, I was able to see for myself that the Bible's only about Israel, you know, and obviously the ecclesia comes out of Israel. And so that's a big problem. You know, the other races will be, or cultures will be blessed if they follow God's law, but they'll be cursed if they don't. So the whole world, you know, when Jesus Christ comes back, you know, what law is he going to use? Is he going to use the laws of America and England? No, he's going to use the laws that are in the Old Testament, and all of which ultimately end in the death penalty in one form or fashion. You know, so that's why when Jesus Christ came, you know, he saved us from death, because we committed so many sins, you know, those required death, and somebody had to die for them. So that's ultimately the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is what you would get tribulation for. You know, because just saying that, you know, hey, you need Jesus and try passing out tracts, you know, that doesn't get you anywhere.
The little churchy Jesus loves you type phony smile, and that's not the Jesus or the Yeshua or Messiah that came the first time, because they wouldn't have killed him. If he was that kind of a love hippie, they wouldn't have killed him. They killed him because he taught the gospel of the kingdom, which is kingdom is synonymous with government. He taught God or Yahweh's law on earth, God's government.
Right. And, you know, the people who killed him were the seed of the serpent. And so he called them who they were, you know, but today's Christians have been so indoctrinated such that they can't go that far. They're like, no, that's not what he meant. Well, you know, that's the purpose of my whole book is what if Jesus meant what he said, you know, realistically. And so you come to the conclusions that I've come to, you know, and then in the appendix, I cover 7/8 of the Bible misunderstood, which was written by Hine, I think, Edward Hine, back in 1876. And so he went through his Bible with a highlighter. They didn't have highlighters, but a red pen, a blue pen, and a purple pen or whatever, and underlined, separated out Gentiles versus the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And so he wrote a paper on that. And then I cover Sheldon Emery's An Open Letter to Any Minister Who Teaches the Jews or Israel. And then I list out the different commandments of Yahweh in the Old and New Testaments. You know, and then the works consulted, that's what I have in my physical library that I've looked at for 10 years being here in South Korea, because I have been pulled out of the Babylonian culture of football and drinking and all the other things that you get sidetracked with. You know, I no longer have access.
Hello? I believe that his connection just broke. Hopefully he'll call back here in a little bit. And of course, the audience is welcome to call in. We've got another 10 minutes here, a little bit less. Anyway, if you'd like to call, the number is 877-924-7722. That's 877-YAH's-RACE. The title of his book, again, is Why Did Yahweh and His Son Yeshua Say What They Said? And you can find that on both Amazon and Barnes & Noble. They ask $32.99 for the book. It's over 800 pages. It's very extensive. I recommend it. But Dr. Prock generously donated 10 copies of his book to this ministry. And the first 10 listeners who contact us and send only $20, you can have the book at that discount.
Hi, Brother Mike.
Okay.
My phone cut off, I think.
Okay, well, it's good to have you back. I just gave the title of your book and told them it was available on Amazon and also on Barnes & Noble, and that we had 10 copies that you generously donated, and the first 10 people who contact us can have it for only $20, which is a big discount.
Yeah, you bet. It's awesome. Yeah, I didn't expect it to be an extensive book, but I guess because you write so many pages, I guess they charge that much. So anyway.
Yeah, it is quite extensive, which makes a good reference. Like I said, at the top of the broadcast, we have to understand the subject ourselves in order to bring it to other people. We have a caller
right
from Connecticut, I believe. You're on the air.
Okay.
Oh, hi.
Joseph?
I like your, what you're talking about with the book. And I always had a suspicion about the Bible, and I like your I'm not too educated as far as but I always thought that a lot of people mess with the Bible and its truth. So I like
well
that
they
you
do,
clarified that.
Yeah, and it was a long journey too. I mean, it's not something you just wake up and do overnight. You know, it was a process of, you know, questions coming into my mind of, you know, why is this the way it is, and why is this being said? You know, instead of relying on what the pastor says based on, you know, him going to his own denominational seminary, you know, all Christians today have access, and we don't need a pastor. We can basically, you know, reread the Bible ourselves because we have the concordance, you know, electronically. You know what the Greek and the Hebrew mean, you know. And the people who originally studied the Hebrew and the Greek didn't go off the path too much. So, you know, you're fairly certain the translation's correct. So, yeah, thank you for, I'm glad, I hope that you, do some studies. I mean, anybody could study, God's word and come to their own conclusions. But, I mean, you know, you need to question everything. I mean, I especially question.
How would I go about getting a copy of that Bible? Because I'm very interested in it. Something seems to be telling me inside that I'm on the right track.
Okay.
Well, the book, like I said, is available both on Amazon and Barnes & Noble at, what is it, $32.99? But
right.
Like I said, he donated 10 copies to this ministry, and the first 10 people who send us a donation of only $20, we'll send you a copy. Just request it. Our contact information will be given at the end of the broadcast. I believe it's also available in hardback, which is, what, $10 more at Barnes & Noble and Amazon?
Yeah,
something,
and it's
like
also
that.
On Trafford Publishing, the original Trafford, the publishing house. Yeah, it's $46.99. So it's an expensive book. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. No, it's you know, it's whatever it takes. That's sometimes the spirit that works with you to guide you to the truth.
Mm.
Does that in a,
yeah.
In not only the way that I choose, but you know, I just keep listening and then I keep you know, going into more information of the truth. Because it keeps me balanced.
Well, we do have a lot of other literature available here, both CDs and DVDs and books and tracts and so on, including Pastor Emery's tract that he mentioned earlier. So we do have an extensive library here of what's available to you. And we do use all the money goes back into the ministry. It's not one of these televangelists profit making money grubbing type stuff. It's all spent honestly.
Yeah. I went to a church. Every once in a while I'll stop at different churches, and one was giving out tracts and stuff like that. And I looked at the pastor, and I said to him one day, I said, well, it says that you're supposed to be subjected to the higher power. If you are handing out tracts and they're not, I said, whether they're on drugs or alcohol, I says, if they got that in their system, right there, you have a roadblock to be able to even reach the person. I mean, the Spirit of God can do more reaching in there, but the factor is it's like leading a horse to water and then realizing there's no water in the bend for him to drink.
Right.
So I stick very much with the simpleness of life because it brings the spiritual part of it. You know, truth is very simple. So I like that part. Go ahead.
Yeah, truth is simple, but it's also illegal. The minute you start speaking truth, you're going to have tribulation in this world.
Well, those who have
ears to hear, but
eyes to see, it's a matter of election. It's not only an elected race, it's also election within the race, those who have a calling, a high calling.
Exactly. Okay. I appreciate your time. Let me give somebody else more some time if they're trying to call.
God bless.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you for the call. We're at the end of the broadcast. Do you have any closing thoughts?
Just that I hope that our people would wake up and stop doing what they're doing and start studying, you know, like I did. I mean, God pulled me out of Babylon so that I could, and eventually I found my way into studying. It's not something that came natural, but it was like I wanted to find the truth, and I wasn't satisfied. So I kept searching. And, you know, now that I have, I'm still doing research on the subjects that are involved. So I'm having to reteach myself, you know.
Well, I'd like to thank you for being on the broadcast tonight, but we're just out of time. And I believe
you for having
inspired our people for some further study to find the truth. So may Yahweh bless you, our audience. Good night.
You too.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.